Drupal Voices is short daily podcast interviews with people doing work in the Drupal community. Brought to you by the 2009 Do It With Drupal Seminar. This year's event takes place December 9th, 10th, and 11th in New Orleans, Louisiana. Come get practical advice and learn the site-building strategies of Drupal's top developers, and hear from experts in emerging technologies and the social web. For more information and registration rates, visit doitwithdrupal.com.
So my name is Angela Byron, or Webchick, on Drupal.org. My job right now in the Drupal community is I'm the Drupal 7 core maintainer. And what that means is there are two people in the Drupal community, Dries and myself for Drupal 7, Dries and Gabor Hoshi, and Dries and Neil Drum, who can actually make changes to Drupal. Everything else is done in this sort of collaborative community process and the issue queues and sort of coming together to build awesome things. So yesterday during my presentation, I basically gave a big run through at a lightning fast speed, because there's a lot of stuff to cover, of all the improvements and changes that have happened in Drupal 7, which is the new version that'll be coming out hopefully sometime early next year. And so, you know, of those changes, you know, we have changes for end users and customers, a lot of usability improvements. We did this new initiative in Drupal 7 called D7 UX, which was basically sort of trying to retool the entire administrative interface so it just makes more sense to the people who actually have to use Drupal as opposed to the people who just come in and build a site and get out. So there's a lot of that kind of stuff. We talked about changes for site builders. A lot of really frequently used contributed modules got pushed into core in Drupal 7, including image field, image API. CCK was a big one because everybody uses CCK to build a site. So that was really cool. And then another one that we talked about was, you know, some of the changes that got in for designers and front-end developers. We made a bunch of changes to the theme system. We made a whole bunch of improvements to JavaScript. So, like, for example, jQuery UI ships with Drupal 7 now. And so it's going to really sort of make a whole new platform for doing really easy-to-use interfaces in Drupal. So I think that the Drupal 7 generation of modules will be kind of a step up and beyond what we've ever been able to do in the past. And then finally, we talked about changes for developers, including like a new database system, a new testing framework, a field API, a node access system improvements, just an endless array of really awesome things. It was kind of the release where we all sort of got our stuff together and fixed a bunch of stuff that really needed to be fixing. And we also added features that were long missing. And so I'm pretty excited about it.
And so Dries, in the beginning of his keynote yesterday, was building up to, Is Drupal 7 ready to sort of be code frozen? And, you know, he sort of went through the justification and all the new features. And is there any specific thing that you're really super excited about that's in Drupal 7 that sort of wasn't there before?
Probably the thing that I'm the most excited about, assuming that we finish it up beforehand, is the image handling in core. I think that that's something that people just expect to be there in a CMS as of, like, you know, like, what, 1993 or something? It's like, wow, we finally got with the times and stuff. I think that that's going to be a great thing to have. And I also think that including the CCK field API kind of stuff basically allows you within the same core package to set up basically everything you need. You can do the design, you can do the modeling of your data, and then you can also do the, you know, sort of the application that controls the whole thing. So no longer do you have to go off to contrib to find something that's critical to build out your site. You know, Views is nice. Views is very cool. But, you know, if you're a developer, you can make your own SQL queries and you can make your own listing pages. But something that's really challenging is trying to model your data in a rapid prototyping environment and stuff like that. So it's really nice to have that part of core. And I'm hoping we can pull more of that kind of stuff into Drupal 8 in the future.
And so when you were applying to be the Drupal 7 core maintainer, what was sort of your pitch in terms of like what your strategy was going to be for why you should be chosen to be the maintainer?
Yeah, so I didn't really apply, but like Dries asked myself and some other people. I don't know who they were, but I could probably guess who some of them were. So my pitch was basically, you know, I said the two things that I'm the most passionate about are quality assurance and usability. We have this automated testing bot now, which goes through and tests all the patches and makes sure that Drupal continues to install and doesn't break anything. But I was the testing bot in Drupal 6. I like would download every patch and like sit there for hours and test it and stuff like that. So, you know, I was really passionate about getting automated testing into core to help free up reviewers' time, because I could just see how much time and energy it was taking from real actual human brains that could be spent doing, you know, actually looking at the functionality and seeing is that the best way to solve it and that kind of stuff, instead of just making sure forms weren't broken. So that was like one of the things. And the other thing is just before Dries was kind of canvassing for a core co-maintainer, you know, we had gone to the University of Minnesota and done some usability testing in the lab. And, you know, through Lullabot, I do training, and so I get to see people kind of bash their head against Drupal in real life fairly often. But this was like in a lab environment setting when you had eye tracking and you had like the script we wrote, we thought would be able to be completed in like 10 minutes, and people struggling for an hour or more and just not being able to find it, you know. Like in a workshop, you're at the front telling them how it works. When you actually watch someone independently try and figure it out, it was just like, just mind-blowing. I don't even know an adjective that describes how much that was. And it really brought home for me, like, wow, we really have some work to work on. And what was striking about that is it wasn't, you know, these weren't like, we didn't grab guys off the street or, you know, like, hey, you're a soccer mom, why don't you come here and try and sell Drupal? I mean, these are people that had previous experience with movable type, Dreamweaver, you know, these were people that built websites. They are our direct target audience, and they were just lost. So I would say, like, those two kind of fires were under my, you know, butt or whatever. I was really into those two initiatives in particular. And those happened to coincide pretty well with what Dries and a lot of other people had said were really important, particularly the usability stuff. And the quality assurance stuff was mostly because I, you know, in Drupal 6, we got so much bigger. We threw OpenID in there. We threw in translation. And it was like, you know, at a certain point, if we want to put more stuff in here, we really need to have some sort of, you know, framework that we know the existing stuff that's in there that nobody uses isn't breaking, you know. So yeah, it was that, I think, that was the pitch. And then I also said on the flip side of that, I'm friends with all the developers, and so I'm probably going to get too personally involved in stuff and, you know, like that kind of stuff. And so, but yeah, and I guess it was a good pitch because it worked out. But yeah, that was basically it.
And I guess it was another part of it, the community aspect of trying to get people involved. I know you've been doing a lot of posting on Twitter and holding sort of code, you know, announcing come to IRC and come help out. And so I'm just curious sort of like your strategy in terms of trying to rally people around certain issues.
Oh, you're so funny. Like I have a strategy. Well, getting new people involved with something is I've always been into, because I used to manage like the Google Summer of Code program and stuff like that for Drupal. But mainly it's kind of like attacking on a couple of fronts. So yeah, I do try and get as many new people involved as possible. We have sort of we go through and tag some of issues like novice, which it means that they're probably one line or two liner changes or documentation or something that would be really easy for someone who doesn't know how the patch process is supposed to go to jump in on something kind of bite size, as opposed to like make a new database system, which is a little bit more complicated. So yeah, tag it on that front. And then also having focus sprints on IRC, you know, we were doing about once every couple weeks or something like that to get the developers focus time with the core committers to rally up their patches that needed review and stuff like that. And it seemed to work pretty well because I, for the most part, other than this last week, of course, the queue of patches that needs to be committed was relatively small. It was like under 30, like, you know, definitely fit on one page. So, you know, I think that worked well over the course of things. And a lot of what I do as a core committer actually has nothing to do with committing patches at all. It's a lot of like just talking to people and like, you know, I see someone in IRC who's working on something and I'm like, oh, you should talk to that guy because he's also doing something similar, you know, or I get someone complaining that documentation is bad and I'm like, hey, here's how you change that file and let me know if you have any questions. And, you know, just try and get people moving from like being frustrated to being productive and, you know, trying to give people the most, you know, effective ways to get things done. So people aren't working in silos and they're, you know, working together instead.
And so it seems like with the testing framework that the bug fixing period is probably going to be shorter just in terms of the stability. Hopefully, we don't really know at this point, but there seems to be, you know, Chex has said it's harder to find bugs. You know, you have to kind of go out of your way to find bugs with a lot of the framework that's there. So I'm curious that it seems like this, what Dries announced yesterday is sort of a more formalized sort of after code freeze period. It's like this kind of code slush, and sort of maybe you could talk a little bit about like what's going to happen over the next couple of months and then when you expect sort of an actual release for Drupal 7.
Sure. So traditionally when we do releases, we have a code freeze. It's a hard date, and then that after that point, no more improvements get in. And when Dries and I were talking, this is sort of unprecedented with Drupal 7 because most normal Drupal releases have a code thaw, we call it, where features are crammed in as fast as possible. That's a much shorter period of time. It's like under a year usually. And then we have like 6 months or less, hopefully, to clean up the bugs. But this release, because Drupal 6 kind of took a while to sort of find its way, we ended up with an 18-month code thaw period, which is unprecedented. So when we were talking about, well, if we freeze the code right now, which we want to do because we really don't need any more features in Drupal 7, it's quite packed full enough, thank you. You know, it was like we need a way to kind of clean up our loose ends here because we've got a lot of stuff in here and it's all good stuff, but there's stuff that, you know, nobody's actually tested this API, so we don't actually know if it's working the way it needs to. And we got the first step of this part in, but we haven't actually built out the rest of it yet. You know, and then it became like, well, do we rip all that stuff out or do we, you know, kind of give it a little bit to just kind of get along? So what is going to happen in the next 6 weeks basically is stopping the flow of new crazy stuff that's coming in and then basically moving towards finishing up the stuff that's already in, so it's more of a polished state, and then gradually transitioning from sort of make what we've got work better to like, okay, seriously, we're cutting it off and we need to just focus on bug fixes, polishing, and that kind of stuff. So I think what will happen over the next 2 or 3 weeks is probably a few more sort of hefty changes and when we get into this cleanup mode, and then gradually we'll taper off to the point where something we're doing for the first time ever is we're having a string and UI freeze in November. Which is great because it allowed the documentation team to actually have something stable to develop against. So it's kind of neat because it's like a phased freeze so that different people can start doing work at different times. It's something we haven't tried before, but I know other projects do a similar thing, and so I hope it will be successful.
And one final thing, I think it's kind of curious that sometimes you did a whole post at one point where you said that when you look at a patch that's really confusing, you actually read it backwards. And so I'm just curious, when you're reading patches backwards, like how does that help you sort of grok what's actually happening?
Well, yeah, so I wrote a post about how I personally review patches, and I don't recommend everybody does it because I'm a little weird. But yeah, so basically, I'll you know, if I see some really complicated thing that's adding new, I'll read it upside down. Because what usually happens then is you're reading the calling code before you're reading like the function definitions and stuff like that, which is good because when you're an average Drupal developer who is not in the issue queue 24/7 and you aren't aware of all the background discussion that happened on whatever change that occurred, you're going to find a function call to blah, 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 and you're going to have no context as to why is that there and what it's doing. So reading a patch out of order and out of sequence basically simulates the environment of I'm someone new who doesn't know what's going on, and I see this line of code and I need to know what it's doing without all the background story. So reading things backwards allows you to sort of, you know, if you read things in a sequential order, you've already got too much knowledge going in, and so you lose that sort of fresh perspective. So that's why I do it, is it just gives me the ability to kind of simulate that I'm a new person that doesn't know what's going on. Because, you know, we need Drupal to be able to work for a wide variety of audiences. We need it to work for, like, you know, computer engineers with computer science degrees who are building crazy web applications. But we also need it to work for, like, the weekend warrior who, you know, just knows enough PHP to copy and paste and change it around a little bit. And, so my goal is always to make Drupal easy enough to understand that new people can get involved easily. And sometimes we don't do that so well, but we try to do that and keep the complexity down, make sure that where there is complexity, it's very well documented. And so, yeah, that's how I review patches.
Okay. Well, great. Thanks.
Thank you.